Hey, everybody. This is FinOps Fridays, our podcast hosted by Aptio and IBM, where we just try to talk FinOps. We try to get industry experts to share their wisdom, advice, experience, and also have a good time. Video stream live on LinkedIn, post to YouTube, and the audio is a little bit longer, and you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information, head over to Aptio.com. But for now, let's dive right into the podcast. Thanks for listening. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this episode of FinOps Fridays. Today, we've got a co-host, Joe Dahlquist, here with KubeCos, and we have Michael Macaluso. Everybody say hi really quick, and then we'll dive into the intro and some conversation here.
Hey, everybody. Happy to join you. Happy to co-host. I'm Joe Dahlquist with KubeCos, now an IBM company.
Hey, Mike Macaluso, Finance Director at KubeCos. Happy to be chatting.
All right, great. And again, Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm looking forward to hearing about your experiences in practicing FinOps. We've got Joe and Michael here because IBM has, of course, like Joe alluded to just a moment ago, acquired KubeCos. So really happy to welcome them into the IBM family. Now we've got a great episode here lined up too. And it's really one of the great things about KubeCos. Not only do they have a great set of features providing value to customers, etc., but KubeCos also has a kind of a grassroots community that where they're kind of participating in their own Slack environment, helping out their customers. They've got a freemium version of their platform. They're really, you know, somewhat involved in the open source community as well, helping out people get more value out of their container deployments, right? And really try to be involved at a community level with everything that's going on with containers and cloud cost optimization, FinOps, etc. So today we have Michael Macaluso, who again is not just a product guy for KubeCos. He's actually their finance director. Director of finance is his actual title. And again, Joe Dahlquist here with us, principal product marketing manager for KubeCos. I'm going to let them go ahead and introduce themselves at a little bit of a deeper level here before we dive into the conversation. So starting, Joe, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and how long you've been involved, etc.
Awesome. Thanks. Hunter, I've been in product for almost 25 years now. And product 20 years ago used to mean product management and product marketing. So I was kind of wearing both hats. Now, later in my career, I'm really focused on product marketing, and I've been doing product marketing and some product management in the Kubernetes and cloud native space for a number of years before that, with some cybersecurity and fintech. One of the things that I really love about this space is how closely connected we are to the people that use the product every single day, put their hands on the keyboard and put it in action. I love Kubernetes. It's challenging. It's difficult. It's kind of got that same crawl, walk, run vibe that FinOps does. And I think people are really kind of like figuring things out as we're flying the plane on both of those fronts. It keeps it really challenging and really interesting.
Awesome, man. That's really great. And Michael Macaluso, tell us about your role. You've been doing FinOps for, looks like, over about 15 years or so, since before FinOps was FinOps, man. Tell us about what that's been like.
Had a fancy name. So I've been doing the finance side of early stage tech companies for 15 years. I started off as a fractional CFO. So, you know, you raise a seed round, a series A, you don't quite need a full-time CFO, full-time me. So I was doing that with SaaS companies, biotech, that sort of thing. Eventually settled in and really like series A, once you raise that, I would go in and build your infrastructure. So I'd build your accounting system, your finance, your planning, build out your budget, that kind of thing. One thing I've just noticed and it has evolved, like all these small things that I do, you know, for a small company, maybe it's 4 hours a week where I'm setting up an HR system, I'm building out a payroll, I'm doing this or that. All these small jobs tend to become like departments if your company gets big enough, right? Which is, I think, is the coolest part about it. You're building. And FinOps has been another thing that I've added to that list of like, hey, we're building this out, right? So like it's in its infancy. I'm doing this on the side. I'm doing this part time, but I hope, you know, we'll have two or three heads thinking about this full time eventually. And with my career 15 years ago, a lot of stuff was on-prem, right? Like we're all watching this move from on-prem to cloud. And this has become, I've like grown with this pain point. It's like, yeah, our engineering teams can have a ton of flexibility. They can have, you know, a ton of options as far as scaling goes. But the sort of caveat is this is really complex and it's hard to sort out when we get that AWS bill at the end of the month. Like, what did we do here? And I've tried, you know, I think KubeCost's product has dovetailed nicely with what I think about. You know, hosting tends to be like our top three expense. People is number one, and then maybe our rent. And then after that, it's AWS and GCP. So ton of emphasis there, a lot to think about from a finance standpoint. We used to have the say, we used to be procurement, whereas like we bought the servers, we priced them out. We really only need, our only variable cost is electricity. Now it's completely flipped, right? Like usage happens first, we get the bill last. So really interesting evolution. And I think there's still, you know, a ton of opportunity in this space and growing. So really excited to be talking about FinOps.
Yeah, man. Well, and that's, so one question I have for you as you're talking about kind of growing with the practice and idea of cost management there, like what have you seen going from kind of like startup mentality companies as you get bigger and bigger and bigger with organizations, as well as practices get mature and FinOps changes? What have been the communication challenges when it comes to things like chargeback and getting finance and IT on the same page?
Oh man, this is such a good question. And I love it because when I was working at a high growth startup like 10 years ago, we were probably like 60, 70 heads, I'd say, you know, 40 engineers. And we were high growth, right? Like it was like, pay the hosting bill so we can build more and we can sell more. And I remember just being like, hey, this bill's like we're spending $150K a month between, you know, Snowflake wasn't even around yet, but like AWS and all this other stuff. And I would go to engineering and be like, what is this? Like, can you just give me like a general idea? I know I'm not a technical person, but can you give me an idea? And it was kind of just like, look, this is what we spent. We needed it. End of story. And engineering kind of got what they wanted. Like at that point, it was like, right, you know, hard to hire and, you know, you're not going to tell them no. So like we've kind of gone from that. And I think the whole kind of like tone in tech has changed since 2020, 2021. When you were really paying for growth, you were like, I don't care what it costs. We're growing like gangbusters. That's all that matters. To the last couple of years where it's like, look, we're doing a lot more with a lot less, and hosting and cloud is not off the table to scrutinize. And so now we have a lot more kind of like social capital as the finance department to go talk about these things of like, look, I know you need this development cost or this direct customer cost, but like, can we get better? Can we turn things off? Can we think about, can we scale this a different way? So this is the kind of growth I've seen where it's been like, look, this is an engineering thing. You're not technical, you can't talk about it, to now where like, companies are just embedding, you know, finance folks into like the DevOps environment, which is like would have never happened 15 years ago, 10 years ago, even.
I was going to ask, like, so I'm still amazed at the fact that you've got finance and procurement getting together with engineering and having like meaningful discussions about cost. And I guess one of my first questions is, how do you start that conversation when you don't even have like a shared language and understanding of things like containers and pods and clusters and utilization of cloud resources? Like, do you have to lay a language like lexicon groundwork before you can really start to like come together?
Yeah, I think that's such an important component of it. And, you know, like on the finance accounting side, I think we give ourselves an out on this and it's not really fair. Like, we're not technical. So I don't really know, like, I don't need to learn this, but I think to get some respect on like what you're really trying to accomplish, like you have to make an attempt at it. And it's like, I think it can be as simple as like trying to start to analyze usage, like just going through and just being like, look, find an engineer who's friendly enough who will show you some kind of like very general things. Like the FinOps Foundation obviously has so much literature on this that I found it very helpful, but I think to really start to talk about the same things, and like, I can get into kind of the tactical stuff that I do if it's not too in the weeds yet. But like, I like to just set one meeting a month as like start like a little FinOps tribe, if you will, like a little group that meets some folks who are interested on the engineering side, finance side, maybe pull some leadership in and just like show like, hey, I'm for finance, like this is what I'm showing. Like we spent X, Y, and Z on GCP, Azure, AWS, and then start to like work in what an engineer would be like, oh, that seems like high. That actually doesn't seem right. This is probably, and so like, it can be as simple as like taking your credit card bills that you get at the end of the month, because like we don't get that much information, and just starting to close that gap. Like, ask some questions. I've worked at orgs where engineering has never seen any cloud costs ever. Like, they've never seen any cloud costs ever, which is crazy. Like, that's awesome. I remember showing an AWS bill to an engineer, and they were just like, whoa, this is a lot of money. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, this could be like, yes, you need these resources, but like, this could also be like another head in our org if we got a little bit more efficient, like even just like turning the lights off, like not impacting how you build a product or how you scale or like what your day-to-day looks like. Like, we could just be a little bit more thoughtful, and like, this could be another colleague for you, you know? So like, that's the way I've thought about it. But like, the language, I think, is the first thing, the first place I start. And it can just be like dollars. It could just be like, we spent this, you think we spent this. How could we close the gap?
So for organizations out there, so like, something that continually pops up in the annual State of FinOps survey at data.finops.org. FinOps.org is where you can find the resources that Michael Mack was just referring to there. If you look at that data and the surveys they take, persistently getting engineers to take action on things like right-sizing recommendations, increasing commitments, right? And like, you know, trying to get their containers, for instance, more efficient and other workloads. Do you feel like those kinds of, well, so two-part question. Part one, what are the best ways do you think to get engineers and the technical teams to get some buy-in and having these meetings with you beyond just buying them a cup of coffee, right? And number two, do you feel like that transparency that you're talking about genuinely creates a shared interest to reduce costs and to, like, you know, make things more efficient on the engineering side? Or are they just kind of like, wow, we didn't know, and maybe we should make things more efficient, but is this really something we want to incorporate? You kind of have to lean in on them more. And if so, how, like, what did you do?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so I think you nailed it with transparency. It's like, I think the first step is like, engineers can't measure this stuff if they never get any of this information. And I think the first thing you can do is really like give them that and have like obviously like the shared language. I think there's like all types of approaches here, like to I kind of use my example as like the tactical, like once a month, show what spending is, blah, blah, blah. I think you can make it fun. Like, I think you can do a hackathon around this, like get some cool prizes and like,
it's a great idea.
And just like, hey, look, this is the board. We're going to annualize, right? Like, okay, you saved $1,000 turning this off or turning this on or making this more efficient. Okay. $1,000 times 12. Like, that's a leaderboard. We saved 12 grand. Okay, what else do we have? Like, do some cool prizes, stuff like that. Like, I will caveat this, like, not always sustainable, right? Like, you can go and make a bunch of changes really quick and whatever, but like, you could spend a few $1,000s on like neat stuff and whatever else for the hackathon, throw some prizes out there, and at least it starts, right? Like, it starts people thinking about it. You put it on a board, this is how much we're saving. I think, like, when I think about what drives engineers, like an engineering brain, it's like they love building cool stuff and they love building it with like elegant solutions. So it's like, I didn't need 10 lines of code, I needed 2. And I think resource allocation is the same thing. It's like, add that to their like challenges. It's like, anyone can build something really fast if you throw a ton of dollars at it, but like, can you also build something that's like pretty efficient? So I think that like, starting something like that, whether it's like the meeting to show them what we're spending or something a little bit more like interesting in a hackathon environment, I think those are like both really effective in my opinion. And then, I'm sorry, can you refresh me on the second question? I was thinking about the first answer.
Just basically strategizing on how to get people to get that buy-in and like what you do beyond that, right? So transparency is kind of one step. The question was like, what's the icebreaker? And then how do you get that buy-in and how to get them corporate ownership of these costs, right? And do they get interested is kind of the...
Yeah, I think the interest, like kicking off the interest, if you're starting from zero, it's like, get something interesting on the books like that. Like, start there. And then I think it's like, build sustainability. Like, can we start tagging resources so we can actually like track down owners of stuff to turn it down? Like, get started, get the wheels turning, and then start to build in some like, you know, kind of like governance framework for this stuff of like, I own this, it has my name on it. If we need to go check on it or turn it down or turn it off, we know who to talk to. That to me is like starts to build up your FinOps practice of like, there's so many times where like, the other day I got a message like, hey, I have this thing tagged Mike M customer name. Like, is this you? And I'm like, I don't even have a GitHub account. Like I couldn't even physically do that. There's right. No way. And he's like, oh, you know what? There's another Mike M. I just thought, cause you're always talking about FinOps. Then I was like, he's probably looking, you know, whatever. I'm like, no, this wasn't a plant. So I think just stuff like that, where you go from like, who are using these resources? Like your director of engineering should be able to go in on a Sunday night, just thinking about it and just see everything and have good information. But it's like an iterative process. It doesn't happen overnight. So start with something that's interesting, whether it's small, big hackathon, and then start to build in like the sustainability element to it is how I generally look at it.
Mike, we've talked a bunch about your relationship with engineering, your relationship with developers. And one of the things I'm really curious about is what the relationship and like the, you know, survival tips look like on the other side of that equation, when it's a CEO and a board of directors and investors and other department heads that need that same kind of information from you and are asking these big nebulous, you know, why questions. You know, how do you approach that? How do you survive that? What kind of tips do you have for people where, you know, pitfalls happen on the other end of that conversation?
Totally. I think leadership is like a huge component in building a FinOps practice. Like you need someone, at least one person in leadership to say like, that makes sense. Like we need to spend some engineering time or some finance time in like figuring this out. I think that's huge. I think, you know, being able to tee up, you know, like actual kind of like we met, this is where we're at, engineering and finance is on the same page, is like hugely valuable to a leadership team. I think you can use this data to inform a lot of times of like, yeah, maybe the sort of, you know, spend per customer on this product isn't actually where we want it. And it can inform like a product roadmap or like what leadership is investing in. Or you can also make a case of like, look, this is a really efficient way to spend money. Like we can scale up resources in an elegant way that like we should double down on a product. I think like there's this whole component of planning from the finance side. And this is just one other element that you can really like roll up to leadership in a meaningful way, whether it's like, it really does not always need to be bad news, I think is like the biggest takeaway. It's like, yeah, like maybe we found some inefficiencies or some better ways to do this, but also like, look at this opportunity, right? Like look at our kind of like spend, you know, to get this revenue. This is like phenomenal. We should double down on this, maybe make it more efficient. Maybe, you know, go to market can take this a little bit and say like, oh, we should really push this part of the product, that kind of thing. So I think that you're really laying the groundwork to take away like very actionable things, you know, whether it's revenue side, cost side, that kind of thing. So I think leadership generally will find that valuable if you can spend some time to think through what does this mean? Like, are we at a place, you know, from tracking our costs that we can start to extrapolate stuff like this? That really, to me, this is the goal of a FinOps practice is like, yeah, we want to get efficient. We want to spend less, but we also want to like spend more when it calls for it, right? Like we want to kind of double down on those things.
This data is super important for product people too, right? I mean, especially in the world of software, product owners and product managers have P&L responsibility. At the end of the day, if their product is not profitable, that product isn't going to continue to exist. And maybe some of that lack of profitability is the old technical debt that's getting hauled around on the back of the organization and never really getting dealt with, where if there had been that FinOps transparency of data and the thoughtfulness around cost efficiency, maybe some of that technical debt and that lack of profitability wouldn't have persisted for as long as it did. So, you know, I have come to think of FinOps as one of those central gears that make all the wheels turn inside of modern successful, especially software organizations, but really any kind of an organization, no matter what widget you're building.
This has been an amazing conversation. I really appreciate your time, man. Do you have any final words or anything that you think people should like focus on, or any golden nuggets of wisdom for like strategy or tactical for finance and FinOps before we sign off?
Yeah, I think if you're on the technical side of the house and you're trying to get some buy-in from like leadership or your finance team, send them this podcast. Have them check out some of the FinOps Foundation resources. Jump in the Slack community is huge. Like I've learned so much from, you know, talking to other finance professionals who are interested in trying to get the stuff off the ground. I think there's like just so many good resources. You know, I think we can add a lot to this on the finance and accounting side, but we kind of just sometimes need a little bit of a push to get outside of our bubble. So I think, you know, there's a ton out there and just have to kind of like go seek it out. So
Joe, any last words from you, sir?
I mean, in a similar vein, I think anybody, regardless of your role, regardless of your title, can be the nucleus around which a FinOps practice, you know, starts. If you're an engineer and cost efficiency and optimization for cost is something that's interesting to you, you know, go be that kernel that gets the fire started. If you are a product person and you're not seeing the kind of profitability or gross margins that you need in your product for it to be successful, you know, investigate FinOps and be, you know, the spark that starts that fire. And of course, the same thing goes for finance professionals or anybody that is on this kind of learning journey. It starts with you, right? You don't need to wait for anybody else. You can be the one to kind of plant the flag in the ground and start setting a different drumbeat for everybody to march to.
All right. That's awesome, man. I absolutely agree. Mike, Joe, thank you so much again for your time today. Really appreciate it. This was a great conversation. And everybody, hope you enjoyed this episode of FinOps Fridays. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of FinOps Fridays. If you have any FinOps questions or questions about the podcast, reach out to us at FinOpsFridays@aptio.com. You can also find more information at the website there as well. We're also really active on social media. So hope that you like, subscribe to our content. And if you have any questions, you can also comment there. Hope to see you next time. Hope you have a good one until then.